There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. And now it is time to welcome in the great Rhea Hughes.
She joins the show.
What's up, Rhea? How you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm okay. You recovered from Monday night?
I know. Will never recover from it.
I can only imagine how upset you were during that game.
Well, Hugh can. I talked to him. But the thing about overreaction, because first of all, it's only Thursday. I haven't gotten over the Tommy Hutton bobble in 1997,
wow.
Okay? It was so bad, we had to trade for Hugh Douglas before the next season. Okay,
that's when you know it's pretty bad.
No, I think it was a Monday night football game.
It was.
Yeah, because what I remember about it is I had just started here on the morning show, and it was so bad, I turned the TV off immediately. I stared at it for about an hour, and then I just drove into work because I knew I couldn't sleep.
I had to go to school the next day, yeah. So my parents made me go to bed at halftime.
That was good parenting.
That's probably a good move.
That was good parenting by them.
So I missed the end of that game. But Rhea, obviously, a lot from the other night to look at. First off, your thoughts on the end of the game. That's what everybody's been talking about. The decision to throw the ball on 3rd and 3, where do you stand on that?
I hated it. I mean, I flat out hated it. Because here was the thing. It was, and it's all about timing, okay? It's all about the clock management there. To me, why did you decline the penalty earlier? You were clearly, I mean, Hugh, right? You declined that because you're paying attention to the time.
Yeah. You're paying attention to the clock.
And downs and all that kind of stuff.
All of that. That's what I thought. And to me, Rhea, like, I'm not an offensive coordinator. But I do know, and I know that everybody talks about how Kirk Cousins went down there and, like, the drive was unstoppable. Yeah. But I'm not giving him that much time. I'm still not giving him that much time.
Because my whole point is, if you run the ball, if you throw it there, okay, here's the only way I would be okay with it, is you went for it. That should have been 4-down territory.
Right.
That's how I felt about it. Because, you know, that's why I wanted 2 runs there. You take off, what, Hugh, 40 seconds?
Something like that. That's what we were talking about. Yeah, 40 seconds.
And if you don't convert, so they're going to get the ball and say, what, the 3-yard line?
Now they something gotta, like that.
Now they gotta go the hole with under a minute to play, and they probably won't be playing for a touchdown.
Right. And if they don't
play for the field goal.
If you don't get it, the way it would work, you'd probably take off about 45 seconds, and they'd get the ball at least beyond the 6-yard line. So it wouldn't be inside the 5, probably somewhere from the 5 to 10.
They make it easier on the defense because now everything's gotta go out of bounds.
Right, right.
Because they have no timeouts.
Right.
So that's where my issue with that came in.
And I think the argument is better about going for it on 4th down, that it should be 4th down territory. Yeah. But my thing about the 3rd down play, and I get the criticism of it, I mean, Saquon's gotta catch the ball.
Oh, he's gotta catch it.
He catches the ball, the game's over.
Of course he does. I mean, you know, no, I'm not saying it wasn't a great play call.
Right.
I just didn't think it was the proper play call given the time of the game.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it, because I know a lot of people don't have a problem with it. I just look at it from a defensive perspective.
Yeah.
You know, like, I am trying to take as much time away from Kirk Cousins as I possibly can. That's it.
You don't think Kirk Cousins and the Falcons were absolutely thrilled?
Yeah, because it gives you more time. Yeah. Your playbook is massive still at that point, because you got a lot of time to work.
Yep. Right.
Because you're throwing, all you're doing is deep throws. You're letting it go deep. You're throwing it deep.
Not running the ball.
Yeah, you're definitely not doing that.
And that's another thing, Rhea. I'm sure, I mean, that final drive, just how upset did that make you? Just watching the Falcons go up and down the field, defensive line doing nothing. How worried are you about this defense and your thoughts on Vic Fangio so far?
It made me think poorly of Hugh Douglas, who thinks that defense is a luxury.
Rhea, you're not the only one.
That's a ridiculous take.
Okay. A luxury, but could you have some defense?
A little bit of defense.
I mean, you have to have some defense.
Rhea, I look at it like this, because there's so many different ways you can look at this game. If I'm a coach, knowing what I know about this defense, I would have never put him in that situation.
Yeah.
That's like going into a street fight with somebody that you know is not going to throw a punch.
No.
Why would I do that?
They've
why
got
would
a
I
gun and a knife in their back pocket.
Yeah,
you've
but
got
then, yeah. And it's like, why would I do that? So I feel like, in situations like that, especially when you know your defense is lacking, you got to help them out as much as you possibly can. I would go for it on every fourth down with the defense that the way that they play,
the way that they do,
because it's like I don't want to take a chance that they're going to go out there. I don't expect them to
not
hold
on everyone,
at any point,
but maybe not on the last.
Yeah,
maybe
on
not
every last one with this defense.
I have a question that only you can answer because you know. Clearly, TK and I did not play professional football.
Clearly.
About Vic Fangio up in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he should be on the field?
That's a good question, Rhea, and I understand where you're going because I think Devin McCourty said something about being able to coach in moments like that. I look at it like this. I've always had defensive coordinators that I can recall that were on the field. I can't remember if Jim Vicarella was on the field when I was playing. But I remember
Jim Johnson
was on the field. Yeah, Tommy was my direct coach. He was down there. They were more hands-on. I understand the premise of being able to coach the young guy up, but I also feel like that's a phone call. Like, you have to know in certain situations that you can't give up the big play. Like, you're playing to keep everybody in front of you, but you also have to make that play. So I don't know. I hear what's being said.
Yeah,
and
I'm just
I understand
curious
it.
If it would, because when I heard Devin say it, I thought it was, you know, it wasn't a big deal was made that he was going to be in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering.
Most defensive coordinators, because when I think about it, most ones that I've always known, wasn't Wink on the sideline for the Giants last year?
So.
Wink Martindale's sideline.
Yeah, because it's like, because to your point,
you can get to your people
or
closer.
You can cuss them out.
Yeah.
One thing to be cussed out on the phone. It's another thing to be cussed out in person.
A little more intimidating.
Or be handed off by, you know, the assistant to the assistant general manager.
You know, it hits a little different when you say, damn it, instead of coach told me to tell you. Yeah, I got it.
Well, it is interesting, and we'll see how that plays out with Vic in the booth. But the other story we wanted to talk about here, Rhea, is the Sixers arena. And first, before we get to it, here's Jason Kelce this morning on
the
with
only
you
thing
guys
fans?
In the morning show. Yep.
Move, we're not going to do it.
The only thing the fans can do is say, fine, move, we're not going to do it. And then we don't have a basketball team. And it just sucks. It just sucks that there's that much, and this is part of the ownership group isn't Philadelphian. It's got a New Jersey Devils team, a Philadelphia team, and now a Washington team. And now they're forcing the city to do what this guy wants, and it sucks. But at the end of the day, like I said, at the end of the day, we're all going to be really happy with it. I do think that, other than the people that get displaced out of Chinatown.
Rhea, your thoughts on the new arena in Center City?
Listen, most of us do not have fond feelings towards Joshua Harris because, you know, we don't consider him a Philadelphian.
Mm.
And he's got the Commanders now. And by the way, I kind of like that quarterback a little bit down there. I mean, he's young, but I'm a little worried, you know.
Best they've had in a while.
Yes. And obviously the Devils. Listen, I live less than a mile from the stadium area. So I think that's a perfect area because I have options. You know, when I'm going, like I know every day what event is at the stadium because that dictates whether I'm taking 95 or the Schuylkill. I mean, if I'm going down Packer Avenue, it dictates everything I do. That luxury is not available down in that area. I mean, can you imagine the lights at like, where is it? Getting on the Vine Street on ramp. It's just what they're trying to say is the number I saw was 75% of Sixers fans drive to games now. They expect that number will go to 40% with the rest using public transportation. Sure. Well, I mean, stop.
This is the thing. And I get it, Rhea. And traffic's going to be a nightmare. Yeah. Like, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, there is an argument for public transportation. I mean, it's going to be right on top of a train station.
Sure, there's an argument for it, but it doesn't mean people are going to do it.
We got to adjust the way we do things. I mean, taking the train is going to be much more convenient.
You know what's funny? I was listening to the show when Ike and Spike were talking about it. And it's funny. Ike had the same thought that I had. Because I was thinking about, okay, that's like, what, 6 years from now or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'll just park here.
Yeah.
And catch an Uber.
Yeah.
To the thing.
Yeah, they're relying on ride shares. And
because it's like, I'm not, to try to find somewhere to park down there, it's going to be too much going on. It's really going to be too much going on. So that's kind of where I'm not getting on the train. I haven't ridden the train. I can't think of the last time I've been on one, but I'm not doing that.
Well, and like my son now he goes to Roman. So he loves having a SEPTA pass.
Mm-hmm.
That kid goes everywhere. So younger people, I think, will be totally fine with it.
It's just the older ones that are set in our ways.
Yes, we are.
That's going to be an issue.
I think we need to have an open mind, guys. We need to adapt a little bit.
No, I've
adapted to the point where I'm being called plant-based. I'm not doing all that, man.
At least take a train, go right upstairs
or at the game.
I'm
not doing that.
And, you know, I do go down. Like, they have a great movie theater there. The AMC there.
Yes,
with the beautiful seats.
Yes.
Oh, my God, those seats. You know, the Reading Terminal. But the Reading Terminal closes at 6.
Well,
so it's not like you could go there and get something to eat after.
Maybe they can extend the hours, Reading Terminal.
No,
keep it open.
Good luck with that.
Ain't changing there. But I just besides that, you know, what it's going to do the neighborhood down there. I'm used to it in my neighborhood. Mm. I mean, I chose to live there. I'm not as close to some of the other people, but I'm less than a mile. I mean, I can walk home from the stadium. I have. Got me really mad at a Cowboys game one time, and I walked home. I was so angry. It took me 26 minutes.
Well, that's probably faster.
I was mad.
Definitely faster than it would have been if you'd sat in traffic.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no doubt whatsoever.
So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, but hopefully it's a better thing. Hopefully, you know, 8 years down the line, whenever the thing gets built,
oh, sure,
we'll enjoy it.
Because the construction's not going to be hell either.
Well, the construction.
No, that's going to be.
Oh, yeah, the next 7-8 years are going to be bad, but after that, we'll be in good shape.
Oh, and I just have to, one thing to Kyle. I am very disappointed in you. I thought we had trained you better. This, I'm not overreacting. I wanted to smack you.
Yeah.
I just get off the mat quick is all. You know? And dust myself off.
Pass me that mustache.
Regroup. This is mustache Kyle.
He grows a mustache and he's soft now.
Yeah, I know. It's very disappointing.
He's been hanging out with me too much. That's what it is.
I'm becoming plant-based, dude. It's a problem.
Yeah. The whole show's being taken over by Hugh
and his
plant-based
diet. I'm just saying, man. I just think we need to look at both sides of the coin. That's all. I mean, it's not being plant-based.
I think to sum me up, like, I'm just very emotional, okay? I have mood swings.
Oh, yeah.
I get very upset. And then I end up picking myself up, and
You like that game the other night.
Yeah.
You had every right to be upset.
Oh, I was screaming.
It's not overreacting. It's what makes us great.
Right.
Like, because we...
Exactly.
You know, like, I'm still complaining about the first drive of the game. So that's why Philadelphia... Like, we hang on every single play.
Yeah.
Like, people yell at me in April and May... not to care about the Phillies, you know, if they win or lost. And I'm going, I've devoted a couple hours to this game. I'm going to get angry about
it. And these games matter now.
And you, as you should. And that's why when I hear people that are still upset about it, I try to, the best of my ability, talk you off the ledge just a little bit.
I didn't call for anybody to get fired.
No, you didn't. You just said people stink and you didn't like people.
I said I don't like Kellen Moore. That's all. No, I think I said I understand now what Dallas Cowboys fans are saying, which made me feel dirty, honestly.
Well, yeah. That does the same thing to all of us. But that's the great Rhea Hughes. You can hear her on the morning show. When we get back, your calls on the Eagles. Have we overreacted to the loss? And when we come back, we have some audio from Falcon safety Jesse Bates to play for you. He was pretty honest about what he thought of the Eagles Monday night. That's coming up. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated.
where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WIP, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. I got to admit, I'm starting to get a little irritated with choices today and all these things telling me not to worry.
Kyle's trying to be positive, man. Right? I appreciate
it's not working.
The defensive ends don't have a sack yet, Kyle. I mean, come on. We're not supposed to worry about this defensive line.
I'm not saying not to worry about the defense.
The defense is terrible. Defensive line. Is this the worst Eagles defensive line, like, in the last 35 years?
Possibly, yeah, like, my lifetime.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, my lifetime.
Well, like, I agree. It's not looking good on the defense.
They're terrible.
It's week two.
Yeah. Hopefully they can turn it around. By the way, join Ava Graham this Sunday at Island Pizza in Birdsboro, PA for a Bud Light away game party. Win giveaways and your chance at tickets to an Eagles game courtesy of Bud Light. Party starts at 11 a.m. up until kickoff. That's this Sunday at Island Pizza in Birdsboro. And we'll get back to the phones momentarily here. But first, we got to get another clue, Hugh, for Hugh's Clues. Now, the first clue was the guy sells sausage.
He is a sausage seller.
A sausage salesman.
Yes, he sells sausage.
All right.
The second clue, you ready? His son plays in the NFL.
Oh. His son plays in the NFL.
Son plays in the NFL, and he sells sausage.
So he's a sausage salesman.
Yes.
That's a tough to say.
And his son plays in the NFL.
Yes.
There you go. All right. There are our first two clues. If you want to take a stab at that, you could win a pair of Phillies tickets. Phillies Cubs Monday night, September 23rd. That could be the division clincher. Hopefully it's not the division clincher. The Phils have a chance to wrap things up this weekend in New York against the Mets. But still a lot to play for. Still got to play for one of those top two seeds. So make sure you get in. Try to get tickets to the game coming up Monday night. 215-592-9494 in a few minutes here. We'll get to some sound from Falcon safety Jesse Bates on the Eagles and the game Monday night. First, let's go back to the phones. Antonio in Douglasville. What's up, Antonio?
Not much. How are you guys today?
What's up, man?
I'm actually tired of talking about the Eagles. I just can't wait till we play another game. I want to talk about the Sixers arena. I know that it would be nice to keep them in South Philly, but the Flyers and Comcast, they're not going to let that happen. And I don't want them to go to Jersey either, because then you lose the tax revenue. And then, of course, Center City is going to be, you know, a gridlock, congested. There's a lot of issues there, too. So I don't understand, like, why can't we, like, go to Mayfair, right? Like, you can just put the new arena on top of the diner there?
Well, no, Antonio, I mean, there's an infrastructure. I don't think this is a serious call.
Is this Joe Conklin?
Antonio, there's infrastructure issues. You need to put it in Center City. You're not being serious about Mayfair, right?
This ain't a real call.
Come
this
on, Antonio.
Be.
Well, I mean, I want to keep them in the city, but not Center City or South Philly.
Well, I don't think there are many other options. Yeah, I don't think.
We'll let them know.
Yeah, we'll let them know. What do you got for a Hughes Clues guess, Antonio?
Asante Samuel?
That is incorrect.
That's a good guess, though.
I don't think he sells sausage, though. Right? I'd imagine not. Who knows?
You never know.
You never do know. But, yeah, Antonio, can we be honest, just say that was a terrible call? Terrible call.
No, he was, I don't know, he sounded like he was a little groggy.
That was a horrible call.
He might have been on a bender. He might have been waking up from a bender, yeah. And he had some thoughts that he wanted to share with us.
Well, clear the cobwebs before you give us a call, okay? Come on.
That was funny.
Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
What's going on, man?
Hello, Rhea, how you doing?
Rhea gone.
Rhea's gone.
But I'm pretty sure she's probably listening.
Okay, I ain't wanna leave her out.
No, you're good.
This is the thing, right? I'm going to say it because you didn't want to say it, Hugh. It is the coaching. And I want to say this. One of the main reasons why Andy Reid is going to go down as one of the best coaches, you got to pull up, one of the best coaches in the NFL is because he is like a father figure to all them guys on the football field, right? And when you got a father figure, you're going to play hard for him. And then he's going to bring the rest of the guys in like a family. So when you got a family together, playing together, sticking together, going out together, knowing each other, that's what's going to make them an unstoppable force. This is one of the things that none of these coaches that we have for the Eagles is doing. They're not bonding. They're not showing these guys nothing because, you know, I kept hearing, oh, yeah, we learning this, we learning that. I don't see you learned anything because you can't even learn how to tackle. This is the problem. But I'm gonna end it with this, right? As far as what we need to do, we got to force on Sunday. We got to force him to pass. We got to force my man because what I noticed about oh my God, because I'm in the car right now. What I noticed about what's the quarterback name? Real quick. Hello.
Yes, we got you, Will. We got you.
What I noticed about him. He's guaranteed two picks if you could put pressure on him. They got to put pressure on him. Let Kamal get his yards, man. We just want to put pressure on him so now we can get them turnovers from the quarterback.
Well, this is the problem, Will. What if the defensive line's not good enough to get pressure? We can get mad at the coaches all we want. What if the talent's not good enough?
Oh, yeah, but you know what? It's not the talent, man. You know what? I want to take a shot at the Hoopsters, too. It's not the talent. It's the coaches, man. And I'm going to leave it on the coaches because these guys can be taught, man. They don't know their weapons, man. I don't think they're digging in with these guys, getting to learn their weaknesses and their strengths, man. I don't think they're doing any of that.
Well, what do you got for Hughes Clues, guys?
I'm going to say, how about Runyon?
John Runyon.
John Runyon is incorrect. Thank you, Will.
Where the sausage part coming in?
Yeah, another guy. I'm not sure if Runyon's a sausage guy.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's still...
You put that damn thing away.
It's like when I open up my... Like, I don't understand the actual volume button on my iPad.
How?
I don't know because I always turn it down, but it turns it back up.
It's been a few times throughout the course of the show today. I didn't know if Kyle was playing something or what was going on.
Yes, it's embarrassing.
But it's embarrassing. All good. But when you look at this situation, this is another big thing with this team, is the talent versus the coaching. And which one is to blame? And first off, here was Jesse Bates the other night talking about the Eagles, talking about what happened Monday, and very honest about what he thinks of the Eagles.
Getting it to third down and them trying to, you know, probably get a little bit too sexy. They probably wish that they were running the ball as they review the film now. But for us to get that stop, you know, kick a field goal, being down six, and then watching the poise and the confidence that, you know, Kirk, you know, led that two-minute drive, man, it looked like it was, you know, at practice, honestly.
So, takes two kind of indirect shots there. Bro, actually, pretty direct shots.
Yeah, now, those hurt, too.
Yeah, saying, oh, they got too sexy hurt on third down, they should have run the ball, and then it looked like basically 7-on-7 when Kirk Cousins went down the field. First off, on the third down thing, what does he mean? They should have run the play was wide open. Like, Saquon's got to catch the ball.
I mean, I'm not arguing that. But I look at it from a defensive standpoint. And when you get down to that area of the field, the most demoralizing thing you can do to a defense, especially a defense that loaded up the way that they did, was run the ball on. Because let me tell you what the run does down there in that area, that first and goal, fourth and goal area. Because everybody and their mama know what you're going to do. That's like they lined up, and like Coach said, that it was muddy or whatever he called it.
Coach said they were junking up the middle.
They were junking up the middle. But it's a whole nother animal to be in there, and everybody knows what you're going to do, and you dig in, and they stop. Let me give you an example of back when I played, way back when we wore leather helmets and everything. With my first year in Philadelphia, we played the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And I remember that it was like a fourth and goal situation, first and goal, whatever it was. And I remember Larry Allen was playing guard, and they moved him out to tackle. And before they ran the play, Larry went to the sideline to talk to the coach. And I know what the coach told him. He said, you better run his little ass over and score this touchdown. And I remember saying, I was like, Larry, I'm not an easy win. I'm Larry Allen. I'm telling him, it's not going to be an easy win, Larry. And, you know, I know you big and all, but, you know, it's not going to be an easy win.
Larry Allen's huge.
Larry was laughing and giggling, right? He just smiled. He had a big-ass dip in his mouth. He had dip, like a big-ass Kodiak dip in his mouth.
I got you.
During the course of the game, right now. So I remember digging in, and I'm still talking stress. I'm like, Larry, I ain't no punk, Larry. This ain't going to be no easy win. They hiked the ball. Larry folded me like a tent, and they scored.
And I get that it can be demoralizing to run the ball.
Demoralizing.
Right.
And that's how it is. But you, like, I know analytics plays a big part in football, and we've seen this happen over and over again. But me, being the old school individual that I am, I'm running the ball. If I was coaching, I'm running the ball in that situation. No,
I get it. And I think most people are on your side, Hugh. The retort that I would give is this, is that the play worked perfectly. Like, it was a perfect call against that defense. Like, that's what Kellen Moore's here for. And I think when we look at the coaching, like, and I put this on the Eagles, because they have set this situation up to where Nick Sirianni's just going to get crushed every week. And if they lose a game, Nick's just going to get crushed. And honestly, and I know he's largely been great in the first two games, I don't think Saquon Barkley has taken nearly enough criticism this week. Like, he's got to catch that ball. We can say whatever we want about if he kicked the field goal in the first quarter, if they'd gone for that fourth down at the end of the game, it might have changed things. Yes, those things might have changed. What we know beyond any doubt is if Saquon catches that ball, the Eagles win the game. It's that simple. They win the game if he catches the ball.
Yeah, but if they, like, just playing devil's advocate, if they run the ball, run a little bit more time off the clock.
They're junking up that middle.
I would give, like, let me tell you.
Coach said they're junking
even,
it up.
Even though we have no pass rush, if it's me and I'm coaching, this is my coaching decision. I'm running the ball twice. I give you the ball at the what, three? I'd have gave you the ball at the three.
It'd been at like the seven or eight. But
yeah, I'd give you the ball at the 7 or 8. And you know what I want to say to everybody? Don't let anybody get behind you. And I would take a chance on my pass rush. I would take, even though it's non-existent, I would take a chance in that area on the 7 as opposed to kicking the field goal, doing a little funky kick, giving it to him on the 20, and letting him dry the field. So, yeah. That's just me.
So, like, we can and have argued this 3rd and 3 call till we're blue in the face. What I took out of what Jesse Bates said there, doesn't it remind you of last season when players on other teams are basically, like, mocking us, were like laughing at us? Like, he said it was practice for Kirk Cousins going against an NFL defense. That's so disrespectful.
I mean,
it reminds me of Bosa talking about Jalen Hurts last year and all that stuff. Like, we were a joke.
It is, but when you do what you did and you got the big piece of chicken, what can you say?
Well, no, I get that. Like, Jesse Bates can flex on us all he wants, but now it makes me wonder about, like, have we fixed this culture issue? Like, are we still soft like we were last year?
Well, I don't know if it's a culture issue. I just think it's one of those things where the situation that has been kind of put in place with the coaching staff is that it is an easy thing to blame and for other players to kind of mention as well. And I don't know. I just, as far as that last possession, yeah, it did look like practice. Like, he wasn't wrong about that.
But I look at it like we're breaking this game down to a couple plays at the end of the game, which everybody rightfully so is mad about. But I look at the game as a whole. And as a whole, I feel like you let the Falcons hang around. Like, you never did anything to put them away. Like, you have to put yourself in a position where you make a team that the Falcons, like the Falcons are, you make them know that they're not, they shouldn't be on the same field that you're on.
Mm.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
And you never did that. You never established your dominance. So much so that I've had friends of mine that are in Atlanta talk about how this is one of the greatest wins in Falcons history.
One of the greatest wins in Falcons history?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yes. Are they down that game bad? On
yes.
Monday night?
And, come on, and man. I've had friends, like, I'm just,
that's ridiculous.
Listen, do not shoot the messenger.
Talk about loser talk.
Do not shoot the messenger.
That makes me feel better. Right?
And that was they the Super say, because we're our narrative, their narrative down there is that they beat us, that we didn't get a game with that, that we they just flat out beat us because they're a better team.
Yeah.
They're going to hang a banner?
Yeah, throw a celebration for
the Falcons. I'm just telling you what I heard, man.
Getting to 1-1.
I don't subscribe to any of this.
Big win for them.
I'm just telling you.
I'm shooting the message.
215-592-9494. Are we overreacting to the loss Monday night?
Pow.
And also, if you want to get in on that, does this remind you of 2023, just the first 2 weeks and what you've seen here and the lingering elements of last season? I do think when there's the same coach, a lot of the same pieces, and they lose a game like that, obviously, it's hard to separate last year from this year. Let's go to Robin Voorhees. What's up, Rob?
Rob.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys are great.
Thank you, Rob.
Definitely overreacting with a big but, an and, and an if.
Okay, why, Rob?
Like you just said, we're scoring from last year, the implosion. But my counter question would be, this might even go back to the Super Bowl loss.
Jalen, what sense?
The offense put up points, plenty of points. I think the deep. Who sucks worse, our defense or offense right now?
Defense.
Yes, and that's what I think killed us last year, most of our losses.
Well, it was a lot of both. I mean, Rob, at the end of last year, both sides of the ball weren't good.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, we would have had probably three more wins if our defense just, you know, they ran through them.
Yeah, and the offense also didn't score a lot of points at the end of the year, too. I mean, do you think the offense was good at the end of last season?
No, not at all. But what I'm saying is they put up all them wins for us, and then we would have been a decent team. Like that. What that Atlanta game could have happened to anybody, but it happened to us, and it's like a flashback from last year.
PTSD, kind of. Like we have, yes, like yeah, exactly. We have a PTSD. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that is there. I think when you look at the way they lost that game, it did remind you. The game it reminded me of, Hugh, was that Seattle game. It was kind of very similar. The offense didn't put it away, and the defense can't get a stop.
Yeah, I give you that. I give you that. And it's one of those games where I understand where everybody's coming from when you take a two-game sampling size and you take the last seven games and put them all together, because that's mostly what people have been doing. And the fact that the coaching staff or the coach doesn't give a speech at the end of the game, like, all of that is making people feel a little uncomfortable.
Right.
When it comes to what this Eagles team is, I don't look at it that way. I don't lump last year's team with this year's team because it's different. This is a two-game sampling size, no matter how you want to say it. Because if that's the case, then I might as well take how the Saints finished in the last couple of games of their season and put them with the two games that they've actually won. Nobody else is doing that. You only do that when it looks like the team is having issues.
Right. And when it happened the way it happened last year, obviously that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's the thing. We got PTSD because of, yeah, definitely because
of that. What do you have for a guess for Hugh's Clues, Rob?
I got a quick question for you real quick. You, because you were out there, what do you think gets through to someone better? Getting screamed on or getting pat on the back and go, oh, well, okay.
It all depends on what type of individual you are, because
in general.
Well, I can't say, because everybody's teaching style or the way that they receive coaching is different. I came from an era where everybody got yelled at. You got cussed at. And I played with guys who you couldn't talk to them like that. They didn't like that.
What's your guess, Rob?
My guess, luckily, used last clue, changed my guess to Jeremiah Trotter.
It changed your guess.
Yes.
Well, I don't think selling sausage, well, but it sounds cute.
That's hard for people to know. We're holding on a little bit too much to the sausage thing. Because a lot of people are going to know that.
Right.
What, who's selling sausage?
Yeah. How would they know if Trotter's selling sausage or not?
Well, you're right.
You would.
I mean, he's a friend.
Yeah.
But most of the time, my Hughes clues have a theme. And sometimes you have to think
outside the box. Once again, the first two clues, the guy is a sausage salesman and is someplace in the NFL.
You got to think outside the box.
215-592-9494. More calls after the break. Did we overreact to the Eagles' loss? Will the Eagles be fine? Plus, react a bit more to something we heard yesterday. Bill Belichick maybe angling to be the Eagles' next coach. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And speaking of meat, it's here. The most wonderful time of the year. Football season. What's on the menu for football season? Pork, of course. Get ready for game day with Hatfield and put some pork on your fork. Elevate your kickoff cuisine with Hatfield's winning lineup of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, and ham. Whether you're a tailgate king or gridiron gourmet, Hatfield helps you savor the taste of victory. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. Find your flavor with Hatfield. This is the Batman song. This was in the Batman movie.
Nirvana.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Tom Kelly in for Joe Giulio today, along with Hugh Douglas, the Midday Show.
I know,
show.
I didn't trigger a lot of people by saying that. Terrible song.
You can't trash
Batman was what I thought when that song came on.
Yeah, it's
well.
Batman. This was like us.
It's a very popular Nirvana song.
It is?
Yeah. It's not your genre, Hugh.
It's not.
But it's, I mean, I think it's pretty
good. I did like the Batman movie, though.
That was the Batman movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, when he cranked up that Batmobile, boy, oh, that was awesome.
Is it a
dark
aren't
movie?
Aren't they making a show about the Penguin?
Yes, they are. With Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell, yes.
Yep. A little different than the Danny DeVito portrayal.
You see what happens when I try to play something a little more TK speed. He likes the more upbeat songs.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of morbid. It just feels like, you know, what we're trying to be positive. And
I was just getting tired of the tone of trying to make me feel better. I still am angry about that.
I was criticized for when I was playing happy music, but I mean.
When do you care when you're criticized, though? That's the thing.
True, that's true.
Like, when do you care?
Well, by TK.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know my criticisms really get to Kyle.
You being a little sensitive today, Kyle? Yeah. A little sensitive?
Being a little plant-based.
Yeah. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get back to the phones in a second here. But something weird's going on here.
What's happening?
Because Bill Belichick, he's all over the place. And honestly,
I like what Bill Belichick is doing, by the way, but I'll let you finish.
He's pretty entertaining.
Yes, he
honestly.
Is.
He's been entertaining taking the rounds.
Knowing what you know about him, to hear him talk about football, it just takes on a different. It's just different to hear him talk about it.
But one thing that I've noticed in particular is he seems to have agendas when talking about certain teams. And the other night during the game, he was talking about the Falcons and totally ripped them and took shots at their GM essentially, and the fact that they tampered, they lost draft picks, and that was one thing that that makes sense.
See, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Guess what? They didn't hire him this offseason. So
yeah, he was in his feelings.
Maybe a little agenda base there, and keep that in mind when he's talking about the Eagles, because here was Belichick on yesterday. I believe this was Tom Brady. 80s podcast, Let's Go, and here was what he had to say about the Eagles.
Outside of, let's say, Kansas City, because everyone's going to hate them, is there any organization that you feel that is just a bit above everybody else? You know, there's kind of a norm in the NFL, and then there's other teams that are, you see, hey, consistently, process-wise, trying to do things the right way. Is there any teams that you look at and you think, okay, like, they got it going?
Well, I think there's a lot of teams that are managed really well. And certainly Dallas has accumulated a lot of really good players, and they've been able to balance that with some guys like Aubrey and Turpin and guys like that really are great players but didn't cost too much in terms of draft capital or contracts. Look at a team like Philadelphia also in that division. They've also put together a pretty good roster. They continue to, you know, make great moves like signing Bryce Huff and trading away Reddick and, you know, giving that problem to somebody else and things like that. So
he said giving that problem to somebody else.
But my first question is, has Belichick watched Bryce Huff play? Maybe not the time to be, you know, touting Bryce Huff as this great move from Howie Roseman.
That's the thing. When you hear Coach Belichick talk, and I'm pretty sure a lot of Eagle fans, when they heard that and they heard him say that, it was intriguing because they probably want to know, okay, coach, you've had a lot of different players. How would you get the most out of Bryce Huff? I think that's probably why he said it, because he knows, like, Coach Belichick, with his resume and what he's done in the league, when he says stuff like that, I don't feel like he's saying it all willy-nilly.
No.
You know what I mean? So that's probably why he said it.
Well, this is the thing, Hugh. I think why he said it. Look at the teams that he praised. I don't think it's a coincidence. The two teams he chose to go out of his way to praise.
He pooped on the Falcons.
The Falcons. But to praise the Cowboys and the Eagles, two jobs that could be open this offseason.
Two jobs that
are going to be appealing jobs. I don't think that was a coincidence, Hugh. Bill Belichick wants this job.
Yeah, that's what it kind of sounds like, man. He's a smart coach. Very, very smart coach. And we talk about what he's done in the past. And you talk about two lame duck coaches potentially in the NFL. Yeah, he's talking up the two jobs where he feels like he can come in and win. And I tell you what, man, having a coach like that, having the team playing, this defense playing the way that they're playing, and in a two-game sampling size, nobody's overreacting. But it does make you kind of wonder. Like, this week is big.
This week's huge. I mean, and even if they don't win the game, come out and play hard and show us that things are moving in the right direction.
And let me be clear. When I say big, I don't mean like it's going to be, it's not a must win, but you have to come out this week and you have to improve on the outing that you had the week before. You have to come out and you have to play the run better. Like, giving up over 100 yards on the ground is unacceptable this week.
Mm-hmm.
You've done it 2 weeks in a row. That's unacceptable. Now, the pass rush thing, I still feel like that's a work in progress. So I'm going to say you got to get better on the pressure side of it. Bryce Huff and those guys, they need to get me at least six pressures.
Right.
And, at least six.
And and the pressure's going to start mounting, and they're already talking about it nationally. We're looking up at the screen right now. It's Sunday, a must-win for the Eagles. A lot of pressure on this team to perform coming up this week. And you got to show that things are moving in the right direction. That's the biggest thing. Is after that game, that's a really bad loss. A lot of questions about what's going on with this team and, you know, the talent, the coaching. You need to show something positive this week. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Deuce McAllister, former Saint, current Saint broadcaster. He joins us after the break. He'll preview Eagles Saints with us. Also, a lot more of your calls in at the 12 o'clock hour. We'll get to everybody on if you think we've overreacted to the Eagles' loss. Guesses for Hughes Clues. You can win Phillies tickets, so make sure you get in. 215-592-9494. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. I got to admit, I'm starting to get a little irritated with choices today and all these things telling me not to worry.
Kyle's trying to be positive, man. Right? I appreciate
it's
that.
It's not working.
The defensive ends don't have a sack yet, Kyle. I mean, come on. We're not supposed to worry about this defensive line.
I'm not saying not to worry about the defense.
The defense is terrible. Defensive line. Is this the worst Eagles defensive line? Like, in the last 35 years?
Possibly, yeah, like my lifetime.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, my lifetime.
Well, like, I agree. It's not looking good on the defense.
They're terrible.
It's week two.
Yeah. Hopefully they can turn it around. By the way, join Ava Graham this Sunday at Island Pizza in Birdsboro, PA for a Bud Light away game party. Win giveaways and your chance at tickets to an Eagles game courtesy of Bud Light. Party starts at 11 a.m. up until kickoff. That's this Sunday at Island Pizza in Birdsboro. And we'll get back to the phones momentarily here. But first, we got to get another clue, Hugh, for Hugh's Clues. Now, the first clue was the guy sells sausage.
He is a sausage seller.
A sausage salesman.
Yes, he sells sausage.
All right.
The second clue, you ready? His son plays in the NFL.
Oh. His son plays in the NFL.
Son plays in the NFL, and sells sausage.
So he's a sausage salesman.
Yes.
That's a tough say.
And his son plays in the NFL.
Yes.
There you go. All right, there are our first two clues. If you want to take a stab at that, you could win a pair of Phillies tickets. Phillies Cubs, Monday night, September 23rd. That could be the division clincher. Hopefully it's not the division clincher. The Phils have a chance to wrap things up this weekend in New York against the Mets, but still a lot to play for. Still got to play for one of those top two seeds. So make sure you get in. Try to get tickets to the game coming up Monday night. 215-592-9494 in a few minutes here. We'll get to some sound from Falcon safety Jesse Bates on the Eagles and the game Monday night. First, let's go back to the phones. Antonio in Douglasville. What's up, Antonio?
Not much. How are you guys today?
What's up, man?
I'm actually tired of talking about the Eagles. I just can't wait till we play another game. I want to talk about the Sixers arena. I know that it would be nice to keep them in South Philly, but the Flyers and Comcast, they're not going to let that happen. And I don't want them to go to Jersey either, because then you lose the tax revenue. And then, of course, Center City is going to be, you know, a gridlock. congested. There's a lot of issues there too. So I don't understand, like, why can't we, like, go to Mayfair, right? Like, you can just put the new arena on top of the diner there.
Well, no, Antonio, I mean, there's an infrastructure. I don't think this is a serious call.
Is this Joe Conklin?
Antonio, there's infrastructure issues. You need to put it in Center City. Or you're not being serious about Mayfair, right?
This ain't a real call.
Come on, Antonio.
Well, I mean, I want to keep them in the city, but not Center City or South Philly.
Well, I don't think there are many other options. Yeah, I don't think.
We'll let them know.
Yeah, we'll let them know. What do you got for a Hughes Clues guess, Antonio?
Asante Samuel?
That is incorrect.
That's a good guess, though.
I don't think he sells sausage, though. Right? I'd imagine not. Who knows?
You never know.
You never do know. But, yeah, Antonio, can we be honest, just say that was a terrible call. Terrible call.
No, he was, I don't know, he sounded like he was a little groggy.
That was a horrible call.
He might have been on a bender. He might have been waking up from a bender, yeah. And he had some thoughts that he wanted to share with us.
Well, clear the cobwebs before you give us a call, okay? Come on.
That was funny.
Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
What's going on, man?
Hello, Rhea, how you doing?
Rhea gone.
Rhea's gone.
I'm pretty sure she's probably listening.
Okay, I ain't wanna leave her out.
No, you good.
This is the thing, right? I'm gonna say it because you didn't want to say it, Hugh. It is the coaching, and I want to say this. One of the main reasons why Andy Reid is going to go down as one of the best coaches. You got to pull up one of the best coaches in the NFL is because he is like a father figure to all them guys on the football field, right? And when you got a father figure, you're going to play hard for him. And then he's going to bring the rest of the guys in like a family. So when you got a family together, playing together, sticking together, going out together, knowing each other, that's what's going to make them an unstoppable force. This is one of the things that none of these coaches that we have for the Eagles is doing. They're not bonding. They're not showing these guys nothing because, you know, I kept hearing, oh, yeah, we learning this, we learning that. I don't see you learned anything because you can't even learn how to tackle. This is the problem. But I'm going to end it with this, right? As far as what we need to do, we got to force on Sunday. We got to force him to pass. We got to force my man because what I noticed about, oh, my God. Because I'm in the car right now. What I noticed about, what's the quarterback name? Real quick. Hello?
We got you, Will. We got you.
What I noticed about him, he's guaranteed two picks if you could put pressure on him. They got to put pressure on him. Let Kamal get his yards, man. We just want to put pressure on him so now we can get them turnovers from the quarterback.
Well, this is the problem, Will. What if the defensive line's not good enough to get pressure? We can get mad at the coaches all we want. What if the talent's not good enough?
Oh, yeah, but you know what? It's not the talent, man. You know what? I want to take a shot at the Hoops Clues, too. It's not the talent. It's the coaches, man. And I'm going to leave it on the coaches because these guys can be taught, man. They don't know their weapons, man. I don't think they're digging in with these guys, getting to learn their weaknesses and their strengths, man. I don't think they're doing any of that.
What do you got for Hughes Clues, guess?
I'm going to say, how about Runyon?
John Runyon.
John Runyon is incorrect. Thank you, Will.
Where the sausage part coming out?
Yeah, another guy. I'm not sure if Runyon's a sausage guy.
No, I don't. No, I don't think so. Okay, I don't think so.
Yeah. So the it's still
you put that damn thing away.
it's like when I open I don't understand the actual volume button on my iPad.
How?
I don't know because I always turn it down, but it turns it back up.
It's been a few times throughout the course of the show today. I didn't know if Kyle was playing something or what was going on.
Yes, it's embarrassing.
But all good. But when you look at this situation, this is another big thing with this team, is the talent versus the coaching. And which one is to blame? And first off, here was Jesse Bates the other night talking about the Eagles, talking about what happened Monday, and very honest about what he thinks of the Eagles.
Getting it to third down and them trying to, you know, probably get a little bit too sexy. They probably wish that they were running the ball as they review the film now. But for us to get that stop, you know, kick a field goal, being down six, and then watching the poise and the confidence that, you know, Kurt, you know, led that 2-minute drive, man, it looked like it was, you know, at practice, honestly.
So, takes two kind of indirect shots there, or actually pretty direct shots.
Yeah, now, those hurt too.
Yeah, saying, oh, they got too sexy on third down, they should have run the ball, and then it looked like basically 7-on-7 when Kirk Cousins went down the field. First off, on the third down thing, what does he mean? They should have run the play was wide open. Like, Saquon's got to catch the ball.
I mean, I'm not arguing that. But I look at it from a defensive standpoint. And when you get down to that area of the field, the most demoralizing thing you can do to a defense, especially a defense that loaded up the way that they did, was run the ball on. Because let me tell you what the run does down there in that area, that first and goal, fourth and goal area. Because everybody and their mama know what you're going to do. That's like they lined up, and like Coach said, that it was muddy or whatever he called it.
Coach said they were junking up the middle.
They were junking up the middle. But it's a whole nother animal to be in there, and everybody knows what you're going to do, and you dig in, and they stop. Let me give you an example of back when I played, way back when we wore leather helmets and everything. With my first year in Philadelphia, we played the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And I remember that it was like a fourth and goal situation, first and goal, whatever it was. And I remember Larry Allen was playing guard, and they moved him out to tackle. And before they ran the play, Larry went to the sideline to talk to the coach. And I know what the coach told him. He said, you better run his little ass over and score this touchdown. And I remember saying, I was like, Larry, I'm not an easy win. I'm Larry Allen. I'm telling him, it's not going to be an easy win, Larry. And, you know, I know you big and all, but, you know, it's not going to be an easy win.
Larry Allen's huge.
Larry was laughing and giggling, right? He just smiled. He had a big-ass dip in his mouth. He had dip, like a big-ass Kodiak dip in his mouth. During the course of the game,
right.
Now. So I remember digging in, and I'm still talking stress. I'm like, Larry, I ain't no punk. This ain't going to be no easy win. They hiked the ball. Larry folded me like a tent, and they scored.
And I get that it can be demoralizing to run the ball.
Demoralizing.
Right.
And that's how it is. I know analytics plays a big part in football, and we've seen this happen over and over again. But me, being the old school individual that I am, I'm running the ball. If I was coaching, I'm running the ball in that situation.
I get it. And I think most people are on your side, Hugh. The retort that I would give is this. Is that the play worked perfectly. Like, it was a perfect call against that defense. Like, that's what Kellen Moore's here for. And I think when we look at the coaching, like, and I put this on the Eagles, because they have set this situation up to where Nick Sirianni's just going to get crushed every week. And if they lose a game, Nick's just going to get crushed. And honestly, and I know he's largely been great in the first two games, I don't think Saquon Barkley has taken nearly enough criticism this week. Like, he's got to catch that ball. We can say whatever we want about if he kicked the field goal in the first quarter, if they'd gone for that fourth down at the end of the game, it might have changed things. Yes, those things might have changed. What we know beyond any doubt is if Saquon catches that ball, the Eagles win the game. It's that simple. They win the game if he catches the ball.
Yeah, but if they, like, just playing devil's advocate, if they run the ball, run a little bit more time off the clock.
They're junking up that middle.
I would give, like, let me tell you.
Coach said they're junking
even,
it up.
Even though we have no pass rush, if it's me and I'm coaching, this is my coaching decision. I'm running the ball twice. I give you the ball at the what, 3? I gave you the ball at the 3.
It'd been at like the 7 or 8. But
yeah, I give you the ball at the 7 or 8. And you know what I'm going to say to everybody? Don't let anybody get behind you. And I would take a chance on my pass rush. I would take, even though it's non-existent, I would take a chance in that area on the 7 as opposed to kicking the field goal, doing a little funky kick, giving it to him on the 20, and letting him dry the field. Yeah. That's just me.
So, like, we can and have argued this 3rd and 3 call till we're blue in the face. What I took out of what Jesse Bates said there, doesn't it remind you of last season when players on other teams are basically like, mocking us, or like laughing at us? Like, he said it was practice for Kirk Cousins going against an NFL defense. That's so disrespectful.
I mean,
it reminds me of Bosa talking about Jalen Hurts last year and all that stuff. Like, we were a joke.
It is, but when you do what you did and you got the big piece of chicken, what can you say?
Well, no, I get that. Like, Jesse Bates can flex on us all he wants, but now it makes me wonder about, like, have we fixed this culture issue? Like, are we still soft like we were last year?
Well, I don't know if it's a culture issue. I just think it's one of those things where the situation that has been kind of put in place with the coaching staff is that it is an easy thing to blame and for other players to kind of mention as well. And I don't know. I just, as far as that last possession, yeah, it did look like practice. Like, he wasn't wrong about that.
But I look at it like we're breaking this game down to a couple plays at the end of the game, which everybody rightfully so is mad about. But I look at the game as a whole. And as a whole, I feel like you let the Falcons hang around. Like, you never did anything to put them away. Like, you have to put yourself in a position where you make a team that the Falcons, like the Falcons are, you make them know that they shouldn't be on the same field that you're on.
Mm.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
And you never did that. You never established your dominance. So much so that I've had friends of mine that are in Atlanta talk about how this is one of the greatest wins in Falcons history.
One of the greatest wins in Falcons history?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yes. Are they down that bad? Monday night?
Yes. And I've had friends, like, I'm just,
that's ridiculous.
Listen, do not shoot the messenger.
Talking about loser talk.
Do not shoot the messenger.
That makes me feel better. Right?
And that was they Super say, because we're our narrative, their narrative down there is that they beat us, that we didn't get a game away, that they just flat out beat us because they're a better team.
Yeah.
They're going to hang a banner?
Yeah, throw a celebration for the Falcons.
I'm just telling you what I heard, man.
Getting to 1-1.
I don't subscribe to any of this.
Big win
for them. I'm just telling you.
I'm shooting the message.
215-592-9494. Are we overreacting to the lost Monday night?
Pow.
And also, if you want to get in on that, does this remind you of 2023, just the first 2 weeks and what you've seen here and the lingering elements of last season? I do think when there's the same coach, a lot of the same pieces, and they lose a game like that, obviously, it's hard to separate last year from this year. Let's go to Robin Voorhees. What's up, Rob?
Rob.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys are great.
Thank you, Rob.
Definitely overreacting with a big but, an and, and an if.
Okay, why, Rob?
Like you just said, we're scoring from last year, the implosion. But my counter question would be, this might even go back to the Super Bowl loss. Jalen,
what sense?
This offense put up points, plenty of points. I think who sucks worse, our defense or offense right now?
Defense.
Yes. And that's what I think killed us last year, most of our losses.
Well, it was a lot of both. I mean, Rob, at the end of last year, both sides of the ball weren't good.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, we would have had probably three more wins if our defense just, you know, they ran through them.
Yeah, and the offense also didn't score a lot of points at the end of the year, too. I mean, do you think the offense was good at the end of last season?
No, not at all. But what I'm saying is they put up all them wins for us, and then we would have been a decent team. Like that. What that Atlanta game could have happened to anybody, but it happened to us, and it's like a flashback from last year.
PTSD, kind of. Like we have, yes, like yeah, exactly. We have a PTSD. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that is there. I think when you look at the way they lost that game, it did remind you. The game it reminded me of, Hugh, was that Seattle game. Was kind of very similar. The offense didn't put it away, and the defense can't get a stop.
Yeah, I give you that. I give you that. And it's one of those games where I understand where everybody's coming from when you take a two-game sampling size and you take the last seven games and put them all together, because that's mostly what people have been doing. And the fact that the coaching staff or the coach doesn't give – a speech at the end of the game. Like, all of that is making people feel a little uncomfortable.
Right.
When it comes to what this Eagles team is. I don't look at it that way. I don't lump last year's team with this year's team because it's different. This is a two-game sampling size, no matter how you want to say it. Because if that's the case, then I might as well take how the Saints finished in the last couple of games of their season and put them with the two games that they've actually won. Nobody else is doing that. You only do that when it looks like the team is having issues.
Right. And when it happened the way it happened last year, obviously that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's the thing. We got PTSD because of, yeah, definitely because
of that. What do you have for a guess for Hughes Clues, Rob?
I got a quick question for you real quick. Because you were out there. What do you think gets through to someone better? Getting screamed on or getting pat on the back and go, oh, well, okay.
It all depends on what type of individual you are. Because
In general.
Well, I can't say because everybody's teaching style or the way that they receive coaching is different. I came from an era where everybody got yelled at. You got cussed at. And I played with guys who you couldn't talk to them like that. They didn't like that.
What's your guess, Rob?
My guess, luckily, used last clue changed my guess to Jeremiah Trotter.
It changed your guess.
Thanks.
Well, I don't think selling sausage, but it sounds cute.
That's hard for people to know. We're holding on a little bit too much to the sausage thing. Because not a lot of people are going to know that.
Right.
What, who's selling sausage?
Yeah. How would they know if Trotter's selling sausage or not?
Well, you're right.
You would.
I mean, he's a friend.
Yeah.
But most of the time, my Hughes Clues have a theme. And sometimes you have to think
outside the box. Again, the first two clues, guy is a sausage salesman and is someplace in the NFL.
Think outside the box.
215-592-9494. More calls after the break. Did we overreact to the Eagles loss? Will the Eagles be fine? Plus, react a bit more to something we heard yesterday. Bill Belichick maybe angling to be the Eagles next coach. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And speaking of meat, it's here. The most wonderful time of the year. Football season. What's on the menu for football season? Pork, of course. Get ready for game day with Hatfield and put some pork on your fork. Elevate your kickoff cuisine with Hatfield's winning lineup of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, and ham. Whether you're a tailgate king or gridiron gourmet, Hatfield helps you savor the taste of victory. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. Find your flavor with Hatfield. This was in the Batman movie.
Nirvana.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, along with Hugh Douglas, the Midday Show.
I know I didn't trigger a lot of people by saying that. Terrible song.
You can't trash talk Nirvana.
Batman was what I thought when that song came on.
Yeah,
as well.
It's Batman. This was
morbid. This is a very popular Nirvana song.
It is?
Yeah. It's not your genre, Hugh.
It's not.
But I think it's pretty
good. I did like the Batman movie, though.
That was the Batman movie.
Yeah,
right?
When he cranked up that Batmobile, boy, that was awesome.
Is it a
dark
movie?
Aren't they going to
show about the Penguin?
Yes, they are. With Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell. Yes.
Yep. A little different than the Danny DeVito portrayal.
You see what happens when I try to play something a little more TK speed. He likes the more upbeat song.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of morbid. It just feels like, you know, what we're trying to be positive.
I was just getting tired of the tone of trying to make me feel better. I still am angry about that.
I was criticized for when I was playing happy music, but I mean.
When do you care when you're criticized, though? That's the thing.
That's true.
Like, when do you care?
Well, by TK.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know my criticisms really get to Kyle.
You being a little sensitive today, Kyle? Yeah. A little sensitive?
Being a little plant-based.
Yeah. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get back to the phones in a second here. But something weird's going on here.
What's happening?
Because Bill Belichick, he's all over the place. And honestly,
I like what Bill Belichick is doing, by the way, but I'll let you finish.
He's pretty entertaining.
Yes, he is.
He's been entertaining the rounds.
Knowing what you know about him, to hear him talk about football, it just takes on a different. It's just different to hear him talk about it.
But one thing that I've noticed in particular is he seems to have agendas when talking about certain teams. And the other night during the game, he was talking about the Falcons and totally ripped them and took shots at their GM essentially, and the fact that they tampered, they lost draft picks, and that was one thing that that makes sense.
See, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Guess what? They didn't hire him this offseason. So
yeah, he was in his feelings.
Maybe a little agenda base there, and keep that in mind when he's talking about the Eagles, because here was Belichick on yesterday. I believe this was Tom Brady. Brady's podcast, Let's Go, and here was what he had to say about the Eagles.
Outside of, let's say, Kansas City, because everyone's going to think them, is there any organization that you feel that is just a bit above everybody else. You know, there's kind of a norm in the NFL, and then there's other teams that are, you see, hey, consistently process-wise trying to do things the right way. Is there any teams that you look at and you think, okay, like they got it going?
Well, I think there's a lot of teams that are managed really well. Certainly Dallas has accumulated a lot of really good players, and they've been able to balance that with some guys like Aubrey and Turpin and guys like that really are great players but didn't cost too much in terms of draft capital or contracts. Look at a team like Philadelphia also in that division. They've also put together a pretty good roster. They continue to, you know, make great moves like signing Bryce Huff and trading away Reddick and, you know, giving that problem to somebody else and things like that. So.
Yeah. He said giving that problem to somebody else.
But my first question is, has Belichick watched Bryce Huff play? Maybe not the time to be, you know, touting Bryce Huff as this great move from Howie Roseman.
That's the thing. When you hear Coach Belichick talk, and I'm pretty sure a lot of Eagle fans, when they heard that and they heard him say that, it was intriguing because they probably want to know, okay, Coach, you've had a lot of different players. How would you get the most out of Bryce Huff? I think that's probably why he said it, because he knows, like, Coach Belichick, with his resume and what he's done in the league, when he says stuff like that, I don't feel like he's saying it all willy-nilly.
No.
You know what I mean? So that's probably why he said it.
Well, this is the thing, Hugh. I think why he said it. Look at the teams that he praised. I don't think it's a coincidence. The two teams he chose to go out of his way to praise.
He pooped on the Falcons.
The Falcons. But to praise the Cowboys and the Eagles, two jobs that could be open this offseason, that are going to be appealing jobs, I don't think that was a coincidence, Hugh. Bill Belichick wants this job.
Yeah, that's what it kind of sounds like, man. He's a smart coach, very, very smart coach. And we talk about what he's done in the past, and you talk about two lame duck coaches potentially in the NFL. Yeah, he's talking up the two jobs where he feels like he can come in and win. And I tell you what, man, having a coach like that, having the team playing, this defense playing the way that they're playing, and in a two-game sampling size, nobody's overreacting. But it does make you kind of wonder. Like, this week is big.
This week's huge. I mean, and even if they don't win the game, come out and play hard and show us that things are moving in the right direction.
And let me be clear. When I say big, I don't mean like it's not a must win. But you have to come out this week. And you have to improve on the outing that you had the week before. You have to come out and you have to play the run better. Like, giving up over 100 yards on the ground is unacceptable this week. Mm-hmm. You've done it 2 weeks in a row. That's unacceptable. Now, the pass rush thing, I still feel like that's a work in progress. So I'm going to say you got to get better on the pressure side of it. Bryce Huff and those guys, they need to get me at least six pressures.
Right.
And at least six.
And the pressure's going to start mounting, and they're already talking about it nationally. We're looking up at the screen right now. It's Sunday, a must-win for the Eagles. A lot of pressure on this team to perform coming up this week. And you got to show that things are moving in the right direction. That's the biggest thing. Is after that game, that's a really bad loss. A lot of questions about what's going on with this team and, you know, the talent, the coaching. You need to show something positive this week. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Deuce McAllister, former Saint, current Saint broadcaster. He joins us after the break. He'll preview Eagles Saints with us. Also, a lot more of your calls in at the 12 o'clock hour. We'll get to everybody on if you think we've overreacted to the Eagles' loss. Guesses for Hugh's Clues. You can win Philly's tickets, so make sure you get in. 215-592-9494. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book. on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.